Well, I've been looking this week at the Antarctic seafloor. Now, this international team of scientists was really interested into the difference between wood and bone when they end up on the seafloor. Now, in the rest of the world, when bones from animals drift down into the depths, they get eaten up by these weird bone-eating worms called ossidacs. They're sometimes known as zombie worms. I showed them to the office a little bit earlier and they were a little bit freaked out. So if you're about to hit search on Google, I'd sort of take one step back from your computer there. And wood, when it gets down to the bottom of the ocean, similar things happen and gets eaten up by mollusks. But what's really interesting about these worms and mollusks that eat up this debris in the ocean is that they obviously have a huge dispersal. There are huge distances to cover for such tiny creatures in order to latch on to the next bit of bone that might randomly fall down to the depths. But can they make it to Antarctica? That's what they wanted to know. So what the team did was they got a load of wood and a load of bone, whale bones in fact, and they left them 500 metres down in the Antarctic Ocean for a year. When they brought it back up again, what they found was that the whale bone was covered in these ossidacs, these zombie worms, but the wood was practically in pristine condition, so there didn't seem to be any wood-eating shipworms or mollusks around. But why is the Antarctic Ocean so different from the rest of the world's oceans and seas? What makes it so special? We're joined here in the studio by Dr. Simon Morley, who studies the Antarctic seabed at the British Antarctic Survey here in Cambridge. Simon, why are the Antarctic waters so different?
The Antarctic waters are separated from the rest of the world's oceans by the polar front or the circumpolar current. So this is a circular current that goes around the Antarctic and it goes from the surface and in places it actually goes to the seabed. So that acts as a barrier. It's a very sharp discontinuity that potentially stops larvae and other animals crossing the front.
Is cold also an issue? Or obviously, if this is providing a barrier, does the temperature change more dramatically?
Absolutely, yeah. This is also a very sharp change in temperature. So within the Southern Ocean, it is the coldest ocean on the planet, and temperatures there that are actually too cold for many animals from outside the Southern Ocean.
And how does this mean the animals change? Are they adapted differently to be able to live in those waters?
They are. Many of the animals that live in the Antarctic have these special adaptations that allow them to live in the cold. So there's fish with antifreeze. There's giant sea spiders that have taken the place of crabs, which can't live there because it's too cold.
When we say giant sea spiders, how big are we talking here?
These can be the size of a dinner plate. They're clearly not true spiders, but they're pretty impressive beasts.
Why are we so interested in these Antarctic waters? I mean, your research obviously looks into shallower waters than this research, but is it just that these animals that live there, that survive there, are so different from the other ones? Was there anything else special about that environment?
Yeah, I mean, these animals that live there, so they're adapted to the cold, and that makes them very sensitive to very small increases in temperature. And also, it's one of the most rapidly warming oceans on the planet. So if you want to understand how animals are going to be affected by climate change, it is one of the best places to look.
And how are those animals being affected by climate change? Are we already seeing differences?
We are seeing some complicated and subtle differences already, but the predictions we're getting based on the sensitivity of these animals make us very worried about their ability to survive. Even through the next sort of 200 or 300 years, we expect to see some major changes in the animals that live down there.
You're talking about sort of investigating these animals who live in such extreme temperatures and extreme environments. How are you doing that in the middle of Cambridge?
Yeah, so I'm lucky. Many years I get to go to the Antarctic for a couple of months, go diving and do my research on the animals. But we also have an aquarium here in Cambridge, so we can do some experiments in between miles and we get animals brought back so we can look at the effect of climate change on these animals.
I'm now terrified that there's one of those dinner plate sea spiders hanging around in an aquarium in Cambridge somewhere.
Not quite dinner plate size, but there are one or two pretty big sea spiders.
That's worrying. So you mentioned that crabs couldn't go to the Antarctic. Is that why there are so many sea spiders about?
When the Antarctic cools, crabs have a real problem. They have magnesium in their blood, and at really cold temperatures, that acts as an anaesthetic. So there are no crabs in the shallow water of Antarctica. And we think that the sea spiders filled the gaps left by the crabs.
So with climate change in place, how can that change the environment of the Antarctic?
So this is a really interesting story because very recently a new piece of kit was deployed in the Antarctic into the deep sea and they found crabs where they haven't previously found them. And it's a really fancy bit of kit and who knows if those crabs were currently there but weren't seen or whether they have actually moved in. We need to do more research, but there are certainly crabs just kind of hanging off in the deep water off the Antarctic. And if the surface waters, if the shallow waters warm as we predict, then in a few years, in a few hundred years' time, the crabs could easily come back into the shallow waters.
So you're making it sound like they're plotting, which is totally playing into my fears here, but it's very exciting. This paper is obviously not just interesting because of we find out more about the marine biology of the Antarctic, but also because if wood's so well preserved, we might be able to find historic wrecks. So Ernest Shackleton's Endurance, for example, sunk in 1916. I grew up on stories of Antarctic adventure like Ernest Shackleton. For me, it's very exciting that we might be able to find this pristine ship lying at the bottom of the ocean. Are people sort of itching their fingers about being able to go out there and find it?
Yeah, no, and I believe there's at least one and maybe more expeditions that are currently really interested in going to search for this wreck. Wouldn't it be amazing if bits of that wreck are still sitting there? It's pretty deep, so it's in a few thousand metres, so it'd be quite a challenge, but it'd be amazing to find that.
Where can I sign up is my only question. I mean, do they take on cabin boys?
I have absolutely no idea, but you'll have to get in the queue behind me.
Damn it. Thank you very much to Dr. Simon Morley from the British Antarctic Survey.
We'll have some more news with science journalist Mark Peplow in just a moment. But first,